This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Conducting our service today is the Reverend Stephen Kramer. We invite your response to Reverend Kramer's message. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies will be given at the close of the program.
It is my privilege today to introduce to you Pastor Stephen Kramer, minister of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota. He has served this church for the past 18 years. Pastor Kramer has a biblical message with an evangelical emphasis. We welcome him as our speaker today.
Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your holy word and the promises and direction we find in it for the living of these days that you've given us. As we study that word in the next few moments, we ask that you would breathe your Holy Spirit into us and open our eyes to see how wonderful you are and how much we need you every hour. In Christ's name, we ask this. Amen.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. And peace. Hear him, ye deaf, his praise, ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leap ye lame for joy. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leap ye lame for joy, for joy.
Our first reading, actually our reading for this message today, is from the 10th chapter of Mark, beginning at verse 32. They were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. They were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. He took the 12 aside again and began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and spit upon him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again." James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to Jesus, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 disciples heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. And when I am alone, oh, and when I am alone, and when I am alone, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. And when I come to die, oh, and when I come to die, and when I come to die, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. You can have all this world. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus.
Dear friends, our world is shrinking in some respects. Because of advanced technology and communications and population shifts, we are being exposed to and surrounded by a host of other faiths and belief systems that in the past we really hadn't given too much thought to before. We're finding more and more people are beginning to turn to things like the Islamic faith or Buddhism. We have movie stars involved with Scientology, Kabbalah, New Age theologies. And in our conversations with these individuals, they will sometimes stop and ask you, "So I know you're a Christian. What is it that you like about Jesus?" If you will recall, Peter one time said in a New Testament letter, "Always be prepared to share that hope that is within you." So let me ask you today, how would you respond to a question such as, "What's so special about Jesus?" One of the first things that comes to mind for me as I consider that question is a statement that Jesus made one day to his disciples. They were on the road, on their way to Jerusalem, though the disciples did not know that when the conversation began. But I invite you now to join me in recalling that story. Jesus is walking ahead of them on the road. They haven't figured out yet what's about to happen to Jesus or to them, or what's really going on. They've been with him about 3 years. Jesus was walking ahead of them, as rabbis often did back in those days. The disciples would follow behind. The scripture tells us they're amazed, and those who followed were afraid. Now, why would they be afraid? Well, you see, if you went back and looked at the previous chapters, you would understand that Jesus had been saying some strange things to them that they had not expected, and they didn't know how to respond to them. Two times now, Jesus had laid it all out to them that he was going to suffer and die and rise again. And that is totally outside of the mindset that those disciples had, what they thought was going to happen. And today is no different. The third time rolls around, as we have in our story for today, and Jesus stops and turns to them and says, I'm going up to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to be rejected and go through some horrific things, and I will be killed, and on the third day I will be raised again. What's ironic here is that here Jesus is pouring out his soul to his disciples, showing them a glimpse of the future. And James and John, upon hearing this prediction, come to Jesus with a kind of a shopping list of what they want to get out of this thing. And they said, Jesus, we want you to do for us what we ask. And Jesus said, what is it that you want? Well, make one of us to sit at your right hand and the other at your left when you come into your glory. Now, their idea of glory was when he would come into power, there'd be some sort of a new king, and maybe they would be like the vice presidents for him. Well, Jesus responded to them. He said, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the same cup that I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the same baptism of me? He's talking, you see, about that death that he's about to face, but they are not hearing it. Remember that cup image? Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane a little later on in this story, and he says, Father, if it is possible, as I look at that cross ahead, remove this cup from me. And then he went on and said, but not my will, but your will be done. Jesus is saying, are you ready to do that sort of thing? Are you able to do that? And they said, not understanding him, said, well, yeah, we're able. And Jesus said, well, someday you will drink that cup and you will be baptized with that baptism. It's a bit of a shadow there of what lies ahead for James and John later on as they're serving the kingdom of God and give their lives up as martyrs for the sake of Jesus Christ. Well, the others hear this conversation going on and they're furious. They get very angry at James and John. Why? Because they wanted that job that they were going after. Now we see maybe a little bit, you can almost picture a little pushing and shoving there, and they're in each other's faces, and there is a brawl about to happen. We see almost kind of a microcosm of humanity as they begin to show their sinful nature. I wanted that job. I should be the leader. Jesus loves me more than you. I'm the one with the leadership skills. You don't deserve to be ahead of this bunch, and so on. You can hear them bickering and brawling with each other, just like some kids fighting over a swing out on the playground. It's at that point that Jesus steps in. And he clarifies for them what's really going on. He gives them the big picture. He says, you don't get it, do you? Look at how the rest of the world operates. Those that are kings and lords are like tyrants, and the world is a mess because of it. But not so among you. In this kingdom that I'm bringing, you, if you serve, that's greatness. You're not looking for the top positions. You're looking at who you can serve in this world. as you serve each other and the people around you. And then, as if to put an exclamation point to his clarification, he said what some people have referred to as his mission statement: for the Son of Man, that's Jesus, how he referred to himself all the time, for the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. There's the purpose statement for Jesus being shared with his disciples. I came to serve up my life, to empty myself, as Paul talks about it in the book of Philippians, to give myself totally over for the sake of others. And I came to give my life as a ransom. Now, they might have been scratching their heads when they heard Jesus use that word ransom. You have to wonder if they really picked up on that, because ransom is sort of a financial term. If you went back into the Old Testament and poked around a little bit, you'd find that word being used as a payback to someone for a personal injury. Or if someone were to get into financial difficulty, they oftentimes back in those days would end up selling themselves as slaves. And let's say someone is selling themselves as a slave and you come along and say, how much for your services? And they say, well, I need $10,000 to pay off my debts. What if you paid the $10,000 and then set that person free? They would say that you paid the ransom price. You redeemed that person. It's a financial term. I came to give my life as a payment for a debt. They might have thought, ransom, that's mighty strange language. Are we in financial trouble? Have we personally injured someone? What kind of debt do we have? And what are we possibly slaves to? What they did not understand was that Jesus was not talking about finances, but he was talking spiritually. He was talking about a spiritual bankruptcy that exists in every one of us. The Bible calls it sin. This world was captive to it and unable to pay the debt to the God who created us, the God against whom humanity rebelled in its sin. Jesus is talking about setting us free from our captivity to sin. They had heard him say already, but obviously forgotten this. In the 8th chapter of John, he said one day, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. But the Son has come to set you free. He's come to set us free from sin and its consequences, which is eternal death. Those disciples at that point in time, in all likelihood, did not understand what Jesus was saying. That he was going up to Jerusalem to make a payment not only for them, but for you and for me. Our sin had put us in debt to God, a debt that we could not possibly pay on our own. It's impossible to make things right in our relationship with God. We were separated and captive to sin and its consequences. And Jesus says to his disciples that day, this is why I came. This is what my life is about. I came to make a payment. I came to pay for your sins. You and I know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey has said before. Jesus did go up to Jerusalem, and he carried out the plan. He suffered a horrific death. He experienced the forsakenness, the separation from God as the judgment of God upon humanity's sin was poured out upon him at the cross, and he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And remember those last words at the cross in John's gospel? It is finished. Those were not words of resignation. That's a commercial term. It means literally, it is paid. Our sins have been paid for in full through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. And on the third day, God raised him up. He lives. And God put his stamp of approval upon that payment and promises that all who put their trust in Jesus Christ shall not perish, but have eternal life. I'm a sinner. He paid my debt. Someone once remarked, "How sad that Jesus had to die for me, but how wonderful that he thinks I'm worth dying for. I don't know why Jesus loved me, but I'm so glad he did." There's a simple way of describing what the difference is between simply being religious and having Christ in your life as a Christian that I explain to people now and then when they ask me, "What's so special about Jesus and this Christian faith?" And I tell them, well, religion, as we sometimes talk about all religions and personal beliefs, is spelled this way, D-O. Do this and do that, and then maybe you can get God to love you, and maybe he'll let you into his heaven, or you can have a right relationship with him. But Christianity is spelled D-O-N-E. It's all been done for us by Jesus Christ, and he offers it to us freely as a gift, the promises of heaven and forgiveness. Jesus paid it all, as the old hymn says. And that's what I like about Jesus. Confucius didn't pay it all. Buddha didn't pay it all. Muhammad didn't pay it all. Joe Smith didn't pay it all. The founders of Scientology, they didn't pay it all. Jesus paid it all. He gave his life as a ransom, a payment for you and for me. I would invite you this day to put your own name in that statement that Jesus made to his disciples. The Son of Man came to give his life as a ransom for Bill, for Steve, for Jennifer, for Martha, for Sam. Jesus paid it all for you and for me. And that's what I like about Jesus. Amen.
I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Lord, now indeed I find thy power in thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. I'll wash my garments white
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us so much that you gave Jesus to be the ransom for our sins. We would be lost without him. In his precious name, we give you thanks and praise today. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray the message and music in today's service have brightened your day and brought you comfort and peace. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is dependent upon the free will gifts of our listening family. These donations enable Christian Crusaders to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to more than 1 million persons each week. Your gifts and your prayers for this program are deeply appreciated. October is calendar month at Christian Crusaders. We would like to send you a free 2006 calendar while quantities last. This nature calendar features a beautiful four-color portrait of spectacular scenes in the United States with a different Bible verse for each month. To receive your free calendar, just call or write our office. We will need your name, mailing address, and the call letters of the station where you hear this program. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are also available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Send your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Waterloo-Cedar Falls, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Stephen Kramer, Senior Pastor at Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church, Afton, Minnesota, and special guest speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 70th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.